A Supreme Court case over a six-pack of beer could rewrite the rules on civil asset forfeiture. A federal judge just slammed the brakes on a $100 billion media merger. And the gap between what America says and what it does at war is getting wider by the day. Let's start with the least-known case that could matter most. The Supreme Court agreed to hear Juppie v. Alaska. Here's the setup. A man named Kenneth Juppie owned a plane worth $95,000. A passenger used it to bring a six-pack of beer into a dry Alaskan village. Alaska seized the entire plane, and the state Supreme Court upheld it, saying, "Even a six-pack of beer causes grave societal harm." The Eighth Amendment says no excessive fines. So, the big question, does that actually limit the government when the government is the one profiting from forfeiture? If the court says yes, it could force a nationwide reset on a practice that takes cars, cash, and homes from people who've never been convicted of a crime. Three words can carry this: the plane, the beer, the Constitution. Meanwhile, in Oakland, a federal judge named Araceli Martinez Holguin issued a temporary restraining order halting the merger of Paramount Global and Warner Brothers Discovery, a deal worth about $110 billion. The judge found the merger would likely lessen competition. The Trump administration's own Department of Justice cleared the deal with no conditions, but 12 state attorneys general sued, led by California, and for now, they've won. The companies cannot close and cannot integrate until at least August 3rd. For workers at both companies, Paramount alone has about 35,000 employees. That means the consolidation that usually leads to layoffs is on hold. For the rest of us, it means a court is taking seriously the idea that letting two of the last big legacy studios combine might actually shrink what we get to watch, and who gets to make a living producing it. Across the globe, the squeeze tightens. Brent crude oil pushed past $90 a barrel today as the U.S. launched new strikes on Iran, and Iran retaliated, shutting down production and shipping in the Persian Gulf. Here's the absurd part. Just a month ago, the Treasury Department issued a broad waiver letting companies buy Iranian oil to calm markets. General License X, they called it. The waiver is good through August 21st. But while Treasury opened the legal door for Iranian oil, the military's bombs are closing the physical one. You can't export oil through a strait where your ports are on fire. So prices spike, and American households, already feeling inflation, pay the price at the pump. And the war powers gap remains wide open. Congress passed a resolution in June, H-Con Res 86, directing the president to remove U.S. forces from hostilities in Iran. The House passed it 215 to 208. The Senate passed a version too. But it's a concurrent resolution. It doesn't go to the president's desk, and it has no force of law. It's a political statement, not a binding order. There is no new authorization for use of military force. Congress has spoken symbolically, but has not formally exercised its Article I power to declare or limit war. The result is an unauthorized conflict that keeps expanding. This morning, the Houthis in Yemen declared a naval blockade on Saudi Arabia, threatening Red Sea shipping and global energy routes. The U.S. has been striking Houthi positions without congressional approval since before this administration. The strikes haven't stopped the attacks, over 100 since fall 2023, and they haven't stopped the escalation. Closer to home, the Trump administration's termination of temporary protected status for Haitians hits in 4 days, July 24th. That's roughly 350,000 people losing work authorization. In Florida, where a third of TPS holders work in healthcare, the state's largest nursing home association is publicly pleading with the federal government to exempt healthcare workers. They warn of losing up to 35,000 direct care workers, meaning Haitian-certified nursing assistants who are the backbone of elder care in South Florida. This is not a shortage. This is a policy choice. The administration has the authority to create a health care worker exemption or redesignate Haiti for TPS. It has chosen not to. The cost will be borne by vulnerable seniors and the workers who cared for them. Meanwhile, the H-1B visa system keeps driving skilled workers out of the country. A 60-day grace period after a layoff forces visa holders to find a new employer or leave. Ananya Joshi's story is one of thousands. She was on an H-1B through a tech job, got laid off in 2025, had 60 days to find a new sponsor, and ended up moving to Germany. The policy is predictable. It ties workers to employers, not to the country's need for their skills. And it expels the innovators that the STEM OPT program was designed to keep. And in a move that echoes older arguments about belonging, former President Barack Obama directly challenged Senator J.D. Vance over a July 4th speech that Obama called a blood and soil version of We the People. Vance, a sitting senator, is advancing an ethnic nationalist vision of citizenship. It matters not just as rhetoric, but as ideological cover. The administration has already pursued executive orders on asylum and birthright citizenship. Obama's counter, that we the people, is an inclusive, aspirational idea, not a genetic test, offers a direct constitutional alternative. On the waste front, the FCC is spending more than $340,000 a year, taxpayer money on your phone bill, to subsidize internet service to empty buildings on Adak Island, Alaska. Fewer than 100 people live there. The connection is so slow, most residents don't even use it. It's a systemic failure of oversight. Every dollar wasted on vacant buildings is a dollar not spent connecting actual communities. Then there's the still unfolding Boeing issue. The president announced that the Qatari-donated 747 used as Air Force One will be sent for security upgrades after reports it was grounded for lacking defensive countermeasures. The plane was a gift from Qatar in 2025. It lacked basic missile defense systems. Now, American taxpayers will pay to retrofit a foreign-donated aircraft that the U.S. never built. And there's this. The Patients Deserve Price Tags Act, S-2355, is being promoted as a cure for healthcare inflation. The bill would require hospitals and insurers to publish prices, but price transparency alone hasn't lowered spending. As the American Hospital Association noted, price transparency tools have not reduced healthcare costs for consumers. The real problem is market concentration. Hospitals and insurers with monopoly power set uncompetitive rates. Publishing those rates just documents the damage. It doesn't fix it. Food safety. The FDA retracted a positive cyclospora test on Taylor Farms lettuce. It was a false positive. But the outbreak that has sickened over 1,600 people in 34 states is still under investigation. The FDA's traceability rule, designed to quickly identify contamination sources, has been delayed until 2028, and CDC surveillance capacity has been reduced, so detection lagged and more people got sick. The bigger picture, Project 2025 is not a document anymore. It's a blueprint, and it's being built. Of the actions in that plan, 147 have been read, reframed, and logged so far. The full map now tracks 1,368 distinct actions, executive orders, rule changes, personnel moves that are shaping what government does and who it serves. The watch is constant. We're documenting it one piece at a time. What's coming? The Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in Juppie v. Alaska in the fall term. The temporary restraining order on the Paramount WBD merger expires August 3rd, with a preliminary injunction hearing set for that date. The TPS termination for Haitians takes effect July 24th, 4 days from now, unless the administration acts, and the Iran oil waiver under General License X runs through August 24th, but the military strikes that contradict it continue. I'm Gus Calloway. This is Project Daylight. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same steady watch.